My name is Alyssa Rapp. I'm the founder and CEO of Bottlenotes. And to learn more about our email publications and events, come to www.bottlenotes.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Today on Wine and Dine, we have the pleasure of meeting Alyssa Rapp, who's co-founder of Bottlenotes. She's going to be participating in the 80 Sips LA event on August 15th, and after that, she's going on national tour. Alyssa, we thank you so very much for your time today.
Oh, Lynn, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So talk to us about this Bottlenotes. What is this all about?
Sure. So I founded the company about 9 years ago, amazingly. In the beginning, we were a wine club business, but we made a change about 3 years in due to some regulatory shifts. And over the last 5 and now almost 6 years, we've been really developing the company as a media company. And what that means is we create great content and really innovative live experiences. And our content, we have three email publications, The Daily Sip, about all things wine, The Weekly Pint, about craft beer, and launching soon, In the Mix, about cocktail culture targeting women. And then we also have multiple event series, and you've already mentioned that one of those is the Around the World in 80 Sips program, now in its sixth year in 18 markets across the country.
Whoa. Tell me the name of the beer.
The Weekly Pint. It's okay. At weeklypint.com.
What a clever name.
Thank you.
And the Daily Sip, is that dailysip.com?
It's actually bottlenotes.com/dailysip. You'll be prompted right when you go to bottlenotes.com. But the Daily Sip is also edited by Karen McNeil, who's the author of the Wine Bible, really an industry icon. So, and the Weekly Pint, at the helm of the Weekly Pint, is Christian DiBenedetti. He wrote The Great American Ale Trail. And we have our new publication called In the Mix. It's edited by Jenny Fiedler, who used to be at the Wine Spectator, and now we're so proud is working with us. And she has a book coming out called The Bar Bible. So we've got really great editors and really great publications. They're all free, and absolutely all your listeners should sign up. No reason not to.
Wow. And how about, is there such a thing as an app, or can people get this on their mobile devices?
Yeah, so all of our emails are mobile optimized. So if you sign up, the emails on your phone, iPhone or Android, et cetera, it'll be mobile optimized, and you can, of course, read the articles on our website as well. We have plans to develop an app, a content app, so you can also just get it that way in the next calendar year.
Talk to us about your background. How did you get involved with this?
Sure. So I was a business school student at Stanford, and I was really passionate about the health and fitness industry, actually, as my family's in that business, amongst others, in Chicago. And wine had been a hobby and a passion and an organizing principle of some travel around the country or globe in my 20s, but I hadn't really thought about it as a business as I think many people in this industry would say, they fall into it, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I was running a wine club at the business school with a dear friend of mine, and I was really struck by two things. One, how thirsty for knowledge the next generation wine enthusiast was. Now, this is 10 years ago now, but the millennial generation, my generation, and Gen X. And then I was also really struck by how kind of befuddled brands were about how to market to this next generation. So we would invite the best and the brightest in, and it was just, they were so grateful for the opportunity to share their story and with us. So I felt like on a more macro level, there was potentially an opportunity in helping the next generation audience get educated and entertained by wine, and then helping brands sync up with those consumers. And so at a very fundamental level, that's what we've always done. How we've done it and how we've made money doing it has changed over time, but that's the fundamental premise. We're helping educate and entertain the next generation beverage enthusiast, whether it's wine, craft beer, or soon artisanal spirits, and we are helping brands access this demographic through primarily digital and social media, as well as through interactive events.
And do you have beverage interests who are sponsors or advertisers on these three different sites, Daily Sip, The Weekly Pint, and In the Mix?
We do. In fact, 80% of our revenue comes from advertising and sponsorship like a traditional magazine. So we have great regions like Wines of France, and we have, you know, terrific brands like the Wine Sisterhood suite of brands. We have retail partners like Sherry Lehman. We have a wide range of wine entities and partners, and then on the beer side, we have some great partners. Odell Brewing Company is one of my favorites, and we have partnership with Sam Adams and many more. So, and in the mix is, as I said, launching in September 2014. So we're putting together that partnership roster today, but excited about what's to come. It's really a new era in cocktail culture, and there's no shortage of information out there, but in our opinion at Bottle Notes, it's really been, no one's really taken the opportunity to target women, which is the fastest growing demographic drinking cocktails, so we're excited to do that.
Now, talk to us about this 80 sips concept around the world. I mean, you literally set up it's a tasting event where people are tasting 80 different products?
They have the opportunity to taste actually even more like 120, but most people get through about 20 or 30. I wrote a book several years ago called Bottle Notes Guide to Wine Around the World in 80 Sips, and the W Hotels was very gracious and underwrote a six-city book tour for me, and this was in the end of 08. And I was really struck when I was out on the road by how thirsty for knowledge and excited about attending an event like this people were. So in 2009, I took what was a book tour and turned it into sort of a commercial venture that was in tandem with us pivoting from an e-commerce business model to a media business model. And we first launched in New York, San Francisco, and Chicago, and obviously over the last 6 years have expanded from those three flagship markets to another 15. And it's a terrific event. It's a classy event in a beautiful setting, whether it's the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago or the Peterson Automotive Museum in L.A., and the events typically have between 400 and 800 people, depending on the market and depending on the size and the capacity of the venue. General admission tickets are $75. VIP tickets are $125. And our access to our ultra VIP experience called the Sherry Suite, sponsored by Sherry Lehman, where you can taste, you know, the world's finest champagnes from Cristal to Dom Perignon and some really fine, fine still wines, both white and red and rosé. It's limited to 50 people in each market. But we really enjoy going to each market, bringing our partners and our team, and having both a consistent experience of wines and beverages from around the world, but also having it be localized in whatever way makes the most sense for each market.
I've never heard of any venue having an ultra VIP sort of a venue. I'm surprised no one else has caught on with that.
Well, as all good ideas in life are copied, in time I'm sure it will be. But I think if you think about film festivals or rock concerts, that platinum lounge or that platinum pass that sometimes is available, that's really our thought on it. And it's and in this case, it's also, you know, it's also the whole experience is phenomenal. We are not like some of our competitors who are where these things are drunk fests, with all due respect.
Right.
This is a classy, well-heeled crowd in a beautiful setting that is interested in learning about wine. Of course, having fun, of course, socializing, but really in learning about wine, which is why the events have continued to grow and continue to succeed. And, you know, I've been really struck, particularly in the last year, I'll be honest, I've been the most struck by how, when we've gone to new markets like Seattle and Nashville, how really passionate the audience, the consumers have been. There's just, in the major markets like L.A. and Chicago and New York and San Francisco and D.C., they have more of these kind of events.
Right.
When you go to more tertiary markets, they really don't. And so to bring something at this caliber to these audiences, where we already have readers of our publications, of course, but to bring this event concept to life, it's inspiring to me and my team, knowing that they go into a market like this and then they sell out quickly and they say, when are you coming back again?
It sounds to me like your business background has really, really given you an edge over other people because of your business background.
I don't know. I think that what I've said in other conversations on this topic about entrepreneurship, I think actually the key thing to entrepreneurship, in addition to, you know, I have phenomenal board, great advisors, great team, is just a dogged perseverance. I think that business acumen and skills help, and Stanford's unlike any other, and I feel very, very fortunate to have been there, and I actually teach there now a class on the global dynamics of the wine industry, so I'm a big believer in the place, and they gave me wonderful fundamentals, period, full stop. But I will say that I think that as an entrepreneur, so many things are about timing and luck and all sorts of things I've learned the hard way and not, but also a big piece of it is good old-fashioned perseverance, because, you know, you got to be present to win. And it's just about not giving up.
So what is your favorite wine?
Oh, now that's an excellent question. I always qualify this answer as that I have to have a favorite wine of the moment.
Okay.
It's a moving target. I have to say, my husband and I made a wine for our 2-year-old daughter, Audrey, called Audrey, by Brooks Winery in Willamette Valley, Oregon, which is a mostly dry style Riesling producer, but this has a hint of sweetness in it, and we'll be serving it at her 2-year birthday party. I know that sounds a little silly, but I needed to do something to make it fun for adults, not just kids. And I think that's my favorite wine this summer, for very selfish reasons. But I have had so many wonderful rosés this summer. I'm just a massive fan of almost any rosé from Bandol, and I got to say that I'm in a rosé mood these days.
Yeah.
So that I had really a wonderful one with a dear friend of mine called Red Car Rosé, and that's been a new favorite. And you can't go, but that's California, but you can't go wrong with anything from Bandol. So rosé today.
Okay, last question. We're almost out of time here. Do you have a favorite cocktail?
I am a big fan of a good old-fashioned dry martini, slightly dirty with a few olives, but I look forward to learning more from Jenny Fiedler, our editor at In the Mix, on other things I should be making.
Alyssa Rapp, we'd like to thank you so very much for joining us this week on Wine and Dine. Bottle Notes is the website where people can learn more, right?
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn.
The Weekly Pint has its own dedicated URL, theweeklypint.com, and In the Mix about cocktails. We'll be joining the siblings here very soon. If you would like to get tickets to this around the world in 80 Sips in LA and elsewhere, we'll have links up.
You're listening to iWine Radio.